and welcome to this Lighthouse Church podcast, where you can catch up on our talks from Sunday gatherings. We're a church at East Lothian, seeking to follow Jesus, build community, and make a difference.
Hey, good morning. Yeah. I'm always suspicious of people behind me. So I've just got to keep an eye on you lot on either side, all right? I'm flanked from both sides. Just hearing about Magnitude, many years ago, Kim and I were involved in youth work, leading the youth in the church back in Guernsey. We used to take young people away to trips like to places like Magnitude, and it was always an amazing experience. We did get evacuated one night because it rained so much. I think we had about a month's worth of rain in one day. So we had to get evacuated. Did God still show up? Absolutely. And those things do shape your kind of your lives as well. Please do pray that it doesn't rain that much, all right? That they have glorious sunshine. It is Scotland after all, and it'll be heat wave, won't it? Yeah. Thanks, Dougie. Hey, it's great to be with you this morning, and as I introduced, my name's Nathan, and we're going to be kind of wrapping up the letter of James, or the book of James, in the Bible. I just want to add that these verses that I'm going to read out shortly, when you get given like a scripture to preach off, sometimes you get given something like five verses, which is what I'm speaking of today, and sometimes the five verses are like, oh my goodness, how on earth can I actually like speak for 20 to 30 minutes of these words? And you think, I'm going to have to really drag it out somehow. And then obviously as you study it and prepare it, things become clearer. But these five verses, you could actually do a mini series of. And I think what I want to encourage you today is, as I speak, my hope and my prayer today is that it would just spark something in you to keep looking and keep reading and meditate on these verses. So actually just pausing in your day-to-day and just thinking, actually, God, what are you saying to me about these verses? All I can do today, because I want to make sure I go through each verse, is really kind of dipping in and giving some examples, okay? But my prayer, as I say, is to urge for you to not just say, okay, we've heard that today and move on, but actually is to use it as a springboard into the rest of your week, to say, actually, these verses I want to really kind of look at again this week. Can you do that for me? Actually, don't do it for me, do it for you, because you're not doing this to please Nathan, okay? So, as I say, we're wrapping up the letter of James. As others have shared, the book of James is a no-nonsense, wisdom-packed book. James cares about a real lived out faith, and this is an encouragement for all believers in Christ to live it out and not to store these verses as just like head knowledge. These verses focuses on prayer, healing, and the power of faith. Okay, so in these final verses, James doesn't end with the kind of like a theological argument, or just simply says, take care, you'll sincerely love you loads, James. He ends with one simple repeated call, which effectively is calling us to pray. So let's look at James chapter 5, verse 13 to 18. I haven't got any slides on the screen today, so you can just listen to this, or if you've got your Bible in original form or on your phone, then you can follow it, okay? So it says this in verse 13 of chapter 5. If anyone among you is in trouble, let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Don't pray for that with magnitude. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. And that's the end of verse 18. So this passage is a call to pray in every circumstance in our lives. Not just as a spiritual activity, but as a way of life. Whether that's in sorrow, in joy, in weaknesses, we do that either on your own or in community, which community is church. This is why we're gathered today, is to remind one another, is to gather, to encourage and build one another up. It's to talk about the good news of Jesus. It's to see lives transformed. So the first part I want to look at in verse 13 says, prayer in all of life. So just go over that verse again. If anyone among you is suffering, let him pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. This verse shows two ends of the emotional spectrum. Suffering and cheerfulness. And I'm sure if I said around the room, have you ever suffered? I'm sure everyone's hands will go up. Have you ever been happy? The same would happen. We've experienced emotions. We experience things in our lives where we have ups and downs. But whatever it is, the right response to both is to take it to God. And when we take it to God, it means that we communicate with him. So the first part, when suffering, we pray. James doesn't say complain or post about it on social media or isolate yourself. He says, take it to God. Prayer is not the last resort. It is our first response. But how often do we forget? And I'm not going to do this, but if I ask for a show of hands about how often do we forget, I'd be the first one to put my hand up. It should be our first response. Now, the other day, I had to phone 999. This was genuine, okay? And ask for the fire service as a house nearby was on fire. And of course, we would categorize that as an emergency. Could you imagine, instead of calling 999, first I phoned a friend, or maybe I phoned Domino's to order a pizza, or posted a story on social media, which sadly I think increasingly we tend to see more of that these days, where people are more filming it than actually acting on it. But if I did not phone 999 first, that would be a crazy response. It would be completely and utterly wrong. But personally, in my own life, too often, I've not gone to God as my first response when I know that I need to be praying for something or something's come up which I just need to try and fix it, and I try and fix it my way. Anyone here try and fix it in their own way? Yeah? Oh, I saw a hand at the corner of my eye. I'm learning to flank down that side. But sometimes I go through, right, option A, Nathan, do this. Option B, Nathan, do that. And I might go through these kind of different things. And in the end, I just suddenly go, why haven't I taken this to God? And I think sometimes God is such a all-powerful, all-loving God, but he's also gentle. And I think what happens sometimes, he almost kind of nudges me and says, hey, Nathan, when you're ready, I'm here. I think that kind of thing happens so often in my life. And somehow, I keep forgetting. I don't choose to actually put God first in those moments because my brain is suddenly going into how can I fix this in my own strength. I know that I've been involved in church life. I've been a follower of Jesus for quite a number of years now, and been involved in like prayer gatherings, prayer meetings in the life of the churches I've been involved in. And I just remember the sense of the privilege and the joy we get when we get an opportunity to pray for people that need to experience the loving care of God. So when people are suffering, so whether that's you as an individual or whether that's looking out for other people, it's about bring it to God. Use it as like it's a 999 call. I remember at I used to go to this prayer meeting called Engine Room in a church I was involved in. And literally it was that the engine room is, the picture of it was that if you can have these amazing boats, okay? You can have cruise ships, battleships, tanker ships, all those kind of things. But if it doesn't have an engine, it doesn't have a purpose. It can't actually do what it's made to do. So engine room for us was very much about the power of God. That's what we need. We need God in our everyday. And I remember that we had a lady in the church that ran a charity called Trauma Recovery Centre. And it was based in the church building, actually. And it was dealing with children that had experienced some form of traumatic experience in their lives. And, of course, due to confidentiality, she would come and not share about the actual child's name, wouldn't go into details, but she would say, we've got a child at the moment that is experiencing X, Y, Z. And on this occasion, she said, this child has nightmares each and every night, and this has been going on for about 3 or 4 years. So you can imagine the impact that has on the parents, living through that day in, day out. And she said, church, can we pray? So she said, yeah, of course, let's do that. And we prayed, and actually the Holy Spirit in that moment just led us to say, we spent quite a while on that evening just crying out to God to say, bring breakthrough, bring healing, bring restoration. Anyway, a few days later, the lady came up to me and just said, we met with them this week, and that child is no longer having nightmares. And that's the first time in those years. And the parents that came to that appointment also said, the change that's done in our house, there's a peace. And it's those moments where you just go, this is God. Because they say, I've never experienced a peace like that before. And you know, that's God. So when people are suffering, we pray. We treat it like a 999 call. And I think one of the reasons we gather as a church community together in the sense of the way God created the church is that we need each another around us either to prompt us to say, hey, have we prayed about that? Or can I pray with you for that? That's what we need. We need that encouragement together corporately as a church family. It is so vitally important. So, as I say, we're dipping in and out of these. We could spend a long time just on part A of verse 13. But I just want to move on to when we're happy, we give praise. Praising God is a form of, one of the forms is prayer. It acknowledges that God is the source of our joy. I mean, who's feeling really joy-filled this morning? Okay, I'm going to get you a little bit kind of involved in this. Just turn to the person next to you. Just think, right, your joy level right now, scale it 1 to 10, 1 being, I'm not very joy-filled. Number 10 is like, I am absolutely kind of through the roof, overjoyed. What number would you give yourselves right now? And when you've got a number, just share it with the person next to you. And when you hear that number, don't judge them, all right? This is about us being honest with one another. And if any of you say it was high until Nathan started talking, all right, that is not allowed, okay? Okay, one of the reasons for doing that, it just shows that we can demonstrate one another about being open with each other. And that's something that I think is, especially for all of us, is that we need to do that more and more. Is about being transparent and trusting people more and more as we build relationship with one another. Okay? So one of my favorite verses in the Bible is in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And I'm often reminded of that verse as a reminder that regardless of my situation or circumstance, my relationship with God brings joy and strength. Yeah? So whether you are in a really difficult place or you're in a scale yourself of joy 10 out of 10, the thing is that we draw on God's strength. It's him that brings us joy. It's him that in us bubbles over in a sense, I just enjoy being in God's presence. And praising God helps us to look up and it reminds us our lives are in his hands. There is no better place to be. We can praise God with using the Psalms, which is in the Old Testament. We can sing songs. We can use speech by just kind of speaking to him under our breath or speaking out loud. We can use many different ways in forms of communication with God. But in those moments, let's make sure our praise is exuberant, that actually I take delight in God because he takes delight in us. He loved us first. It is us that we want to praise him and say thank you, that he has given us new life. And there's no limit to when we praise his mighty name. It also means that praise isn't just reserved to a Sunday gathering. We live it and breathe it each and every day, where we give thanks to God. But again, what counteracts that, there is a bit of a problem. When things are going well, we tend to forget, don't we? Yeah? And in life, we tend to kind of learn and mature in life when things are probably going against us, or we've hit a problem and we have to try and kind of work through it. Those are things that help us. But when things are going really well, we do tend to forget. But again, being part of a church family, a community together, is reminding one another. That's why at the beginning of quite a number of Sunday gatherings, we will go around the room and say, what good things have happened this week? Okay? We do it because actually it raises faith. It stirs us. So applying this in our lives today, in suffering we can either withdraw from God or lean into him. And effectively what James is saying is we need to lean in. The other end of the spectrum of emotions, in joy, we can either take credit or give credit. And James says, give praise. So that's the end of that first verse. As I say, we could have just said verse 13 today and we could have spent all the time in that. Hannah's not here today. We're going to pray for her because she's not well. So that'll be an opportunity for us as a church to say, look, we're talking about prayer, so let's exercise it. So it's blame Hannah. She gave me five verses when she should have just given me one. All right, that's that. So the next verse 14 to 15, pray for the sick and weak. And the verse says, if anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders. So this is more than just like a physical sickness. It includes emotional, spiritual, any form of mental health struggle that people have. Any kind of sickness. So what should we do? Well, James encourages us, we call the elders. The elders are the leaders of the church. And do you know what? In life, there's humility in admitting you need help. We live in a world, certainly this part of the world, where actually I don't want to share that. That makes me look vulnerable. And vulnerability is seen in the world as a weakness. In the church, vulnerability is a strength because it means that we feel safe. We feel in a place that actually, yes, I'm struggling in this area, but actually I know that this is a safe place to come. And I'm not talking about the building, I'm talking about church family as you and I. Whether that happens in someone's house or chatting out in the front yard there or in here, whatever it is, vulnerability should be a strength in this place. But it also means that it doesn't mean you just go and share anything with everyone and maybe it's the first time you've seen someone because they've come for the first time today. Hey, do you want to know my problem? That's a bit inappropriate. Okay? That vulnerability, you need to also have maturity and wisdom to know, actually, who do I share that with? And that's why friendship building is so important. It's so key. As you get to know one another, you feel a place of safety. In that safety, you feel that actually, I can be vulnerable with this person. So, I've completely lost where I'm going, but there we go. So we call for elders, so we call for the leaders of the church, okay? So that's asking the leaders to help pray with you, okay? It doesn't exclude from you asking others to pray for you as well, but in the sense of like the anointing on the leaders to then pray for you, There's that whole sense of coming together, and as leaders of the church, is to say we're for you and we want to support you. And there might be something that is a short-term fix, or it might be something that's a long-term plan that needs to be worked through. Whatever it is, we trust God. We want to place God at the center of the situation, which means we bring it to him in prayer. It says, carries on the verses, let them pray and anoint with oil. So oil is like a symbolic of a blessing, about a healing. Okay, it's not the oil that will heal. It's symbolic of like the Holy Spirit. It's coming. We trust this situation, and it's in God's hands. And prayer here is in both the personal and the corporate, which I've already leaned into already. So what happens when we pray for the sick? The prayer of faith will save the sick. I'm going to come into that in a moment. The Lord will raise them up. So as we pray for that person, what is happening is saying, Lord Jesus, we want to dedicate this moment to say, such and such a person, we need breakthrough in their lives. We want to bring them into your presence. And I love this. And if someone has sinned, they will be forgiven. That's God's grace. That's his beauty. That's what Jesus accomplished on the cross. He did it once and for all. Okay? If we mess up, we know we have an amazing Savior that is willing to forgive and encourages us to get back up and get going again. So, as I said, the prayer of faith will save the sick. Now, this does not promise automatic healing every time, but it does promise that God hears, that healing in the physical or spiritual can come, and that forgiveness is always available. And I think this is an important point to acknowledge. This is a verse that you could easily just gloss over and say, let's go on to the next verse. But I do want to acknowledge this, because this is also reality that many people in this room face. What happens when prayer doesn't seem to be answered? And this is not a cop-out. I can't go into depth with this today, but I just want to acknowledge this. Because actually, when prayer doesn't seem to be answered, it can lead to disappointment. And somehow, it can give this impression that maybe God is weak and has failed. But this is really important. But God is God, and I'm not. Okay. My perspective in life is limited to time and what I see and hear right now. I can't see what's going on outside of this building right now. I don't know what each of you are thinking. So my perspective in life is limited. God created the universe. That's what I believe. I didn't. God is all-knowing. He's outside of time, and he's over all things and above all things. He created you and I. And we could spend a long time exploring about the fact about does God answer all prayers and so forth. But where I've lived and actually become into a place of understanding is that doesn't knock my faith in God. Because I want to say I trust God, because I can only see things at now. But also know God hears every prayer. And he may answer it in a way that maybe I wasn't expecting or hoping. But it doesn't impact my faith in the sense of like, I'm not seeing that happening, I'm off. I've seen many times of unanswered prayer where actually in our own family, Kim and I have own family, we've seen people that have passed away. Even though we've prayed and prayed and prayed, and yet their life has come to an end. And that's okay to question God. I think it's absolutely fine to say, Lord, what's happening in these situations? But at the same time, I want to say, Lord, help me to understand more. Help me to keep walking in knowing that you are a faithful God, that you do hear every prayer, that in every circumstance you care about me. And I take such comfort from like Revelation, not that you hear many people say you draw so much comfort from the book of Revelation, but actually in chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "Now when he," which refers to Jesus, "had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." Now listen to this. The prayers of the saints means prayers of God's holy people, which is you and I. So often prayers for like justice, redemption, deliverance, whatever those kind of things that we're praying for. And I love this picture, this image comes into my mind of these golden bowls being offered up to Jesus. And that's where I draw the comfort, and it actually builds faith, knowing that in every prayer is effectively, it's laid at Jesus' feet. It's not that God, I mean, as do you remember as a child, did you ever put your hands in your ears and go, la, 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 la? Well, you might have a child that does that, all right? That's not how Jesus relates to us. He doesn't say, "I like that prayer," or "I don't like that one." He hears every prayer. And what that stirs me to do is say, I've got two options in life. I can choose which things to bring to God and say that would be too much of a big prayer. I don't think God can answer that one. And that might be through a previous experience or disappointment you had with God. Or you can say, no, I believe God is above all things and I'm going to keep bringing these things to God. That's the choice we've got in our walk with him. And my hope for each one of us in this place today is that actually we'll say, I'm going to keep building my faith with God. I want to keep saying I trust you and I'm laying these things at his feet. That's what I want to see happen because I believe God hears every prayer. And we want to persevere and cultivate in the life of this church faith to keep trusting him. So what happens when we cultivate a culture of prayer in the life of the church? Faith rises. And I believe we start to see more of God's presence bringing breakthrough. This is not a game. This is not something experiment to see if God's presence turns up more. This is what we want to see the life built in the life of the church. It's like when a stone is thrown into a pond, you see that ripple effect, yeah? Or even more exciting, you know when we get lightning storms, there's actually a website called, I think, lightningmap.com or something, and you can see live where lightning has happened. You're all looking at me, you're going to now go and look on that website. Anywhere in the world, you can see when lightning strikes. And what happens is you see the ripple effect of like the thunder kind of rippling out. Oh, you're not with me on that. I should have just stuck with the analogy of the stone in the pond. But it starts in one place, and with that ripple effect, it's like the whole body of water begins to be affected. So when we hear stories of faith, what happens? That one person shares that story and that ripple effect, and if we just even use the example, in this room would start to be impacted. It stirs us. And that begins to cultivate this, oh Lord, we want to see that happen more and more. So I'm really glad the young people shared the stories this morning about magnitude and we got to see that video. We prayed for them because it's in those moments that when we were into these youth events, we used to take anything from 60 to 90 young people on a plane from Guernsey to England to these youth events. We booked out a whole plane one year. That was really good fun. Anyway, that's sidetracked. But what happens when you go to these week events is that it does something in the young people. And I know for like Hannah and Brooke, the idea of sleeping in tents and being woken up early in the morning, going to bed late at night, that can sound really like, oh, that sounds really good. Actually, as one of the youth leaders going with the team, I was blessed so much by it, even by the lack of sleep. And being completely kind of not in love with camping whatsoever now. It was a privilege because in that week you'd start the day in the sense of team where you'd pray. And then you go into worship. There'd be teaching for the young people. You get basically what happens in that week, there's this whole sense of faith being built up. there's this atmosphere almost like over the whole site where you're cultivating this whole sense of God's on the move. I can think of stories. This is all the way back in 2003. What year were you born? Sorry? 1993. Right. 2010. I did. I should have seen that coming. And I remember it wasn't that long ago, I'm sure, when I used to say to people, oh, I was born then, you know, when they say they, whatever they were, but it soon catches up with you, doesn't it? Anyway, I'm drifting. So there's this event in Manchester called Festival Manchester. Thousands of young people gather, and there's a guy called Nick, and he knows God, but he's drifted very far away from God. And actually, about a month beforehand, he was involved in a motorbike accident, and he broke his leg. And he was going to come to Festival Manchester, and then he said he couldn't. We prayed, and at the last kind of moment, he decided to come along. He went through the whole week, and he kind of joined in. He had some crutches with him, and he'd kind of like be on the edge of things. And we got to the end, and it was the last night. There's a whole worship time. There's a sense of seeing lives transformed and changed. It was an amazing time. And there was kind of like an improv kind of worship at the end of the event itself. We went back to our tents, and just nearby, people gathered and just continued worshiping. And his brother and myself, his brother was one of the leaders, and we were just chatting, and we just got this sense that God was saying, he hasn't finished with Nick at this event. And we got this, and it was dark at that point, and we knew that he walked off somewhere, and we just both felt in our spirit that God is saying that go and pray for him, because something's going to happen. And we tracked him down, and we prayed over him, and not only was his leg healed, which in that moment we just said, just be careful, bit of common sense, don't start running around, you know, just got to test it in a kind of in a healthy way. But he came back to God. And that was 2003. He's still going with God today. And in that moment, because of cultivating an atmosphere of faith, you're much more attentive to what God's saying. And in that moment, God spoke to just two guys, me and his brother, and we just faithfully said, let's go and pray for him. And we gave him words of encouragement, but it was actually, you could see God was on him in that moment. And in that moment, his life transformed. And for me, that's a privilege to be in those moments. It's not about the Nathan show. It's not about that at all. It's about being in that place of saying, I trust God, and I want to be faithful and pray for this guy. Do you want another story? It was another youth event that we'd gone to. And again, we went through this week. And one of the last kind of evenings, I really felt God was putting on my heart one of the young people. Her name is Karis. And I just kind of was just, God's just given me this kind of picture. And I just held on to it for the rest of the day. Didn't think anything else of it in the sense of, I just want to just say, is it just me or is God speaking? And so went to the last kind of in the evening event. There were thousands in this massive tent. And I had another member of the team next to me. And I just turned around and I just saw Karis was right behind me. And in that moment, I just thought, whoa, okay, this word. And so with the help of the other leader that was next to me, I said, can you just come and I just want to share this word and then pray for Karis. And so I just turned around and I think Karis was probably about 13, I think, at that point. And I just said, all day, this word I've had for you, does the word like being a nurse mean anything to you? In that moment, she burst into tears. And as a guy, I was thinking, stop crying. This is like, you know, just what's happened? But actually in that moment, it's like, okay, that clearly means something to her. And I said, I don't know what it is, but there's also a sense about the word of going to a place in Africa. Anyway, we prayed with her, and why she burst into tears is the fact that she'd been asking God for some time, what is it that she wants to do with her life? And the thing that was kind of been thinking about was nursing. And she was asking God for some form of confirmation in the sense of, what do I do from the age of 13 that's going to shape my life? And that's why she burst into tears. It was a confirmation for her. So that was, I don't know, about 2000, probably around 2010 when you were born. All right. She's a qualified nurse, and she did go to, I can't remember where it was in Africa now, but she spent some time out there, but she's now back in Guernsey and she's nursing. Never underestimate what God can do through you. Okay? If those moments you get a word that you think, actually, can I bring that to somebody? Sometimes it takes a lot of guts to do so. But I would encourage you, don't be afraid if you get it wrong. All I would say is make sure you can share it with somebody else beforehand and just say, I've got this word, what do you think? Could I go and share it? And I would always encourage you to have somebody else with you when you're going to share that word. Not in the sense of what happens if you get it wrong, it just means accountability. It just means somebody else is involved in that and can pray into that as well. Never underestimate what God can do through you. He can use you in incredible ways. Okay. So, and I've seen over the years many young people come and be transformed, faith rise, following God. That's what we want to see happen. Yeah? That's what we want to see continue happen with our children, young people, with our adults. So the priority for believers is to see people come to see, to come to know Jesus personally. All right? It's the power of the good news, the gospel. And we love to see signs and wonders. We love to see healings take place. We love to see words shared where breakthrough happens. That's what we want to see. But the end goal for us is to see lives transformed for eternity. So if someone gets healed, that is a miracle. We give praise to God. But in that moment, that doesn't necessarily mean they've got eternity with God. Okay? We want to bring them through into a place of saying, come and know Jesus personally. Because whenever someone leaves this earth, we know where we want them to be. We want them to be in the presence of God for eternity. That's what we believe. So back to asking for prayer, I want to encourage you, don't suffer in silence. Let's be a church community where it's normal to ask for help, and it's natural for everyone to respond by saying, hey, can we pray? Okay? I spent quite a long time on that bit. So let's move on. Prayer that heals and restores. So verse 16, therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Okay, so this is radical. We're called to confess our sins to each other. We live in our world, increasingly again, this part of the world where we're told, you keep it a secret. You keep it to yourself. You don't say anything. You don't want to embarrass yourself. You don't want to make yourself look vulnerable because of vulnerability is a weakness and blah, 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 blah. Church is different. We confess to one another. Now, it doesn't mean, again, that you go walking around the room during refreshments at the end of this morning. Do you want to know my problems? Do you want to know that where I've messed up, where I've screwed up this week? Because I guarantee people will say, I definitely don't want my coffee anymore. I've got to go. We've got to be wise with it and mature, okay? But it does mean getting alongside people that we build friendship up with one another and we confess to one another. Why do we do this? Because sin festers in silence, doesn't it? We keep it kind of like in a corner in our lives that no one's allowed to go nearby. When we confess, there's healing through that, okay? So sin isolates us. Confession restores us together. And there's emotional and spiritual healing is simply bringing our darkness into the light. And as I said before, when we bring this to God, he's a God that forgives. He's a God that can restore and heal. As I say, prayer with restoration, when we pray for one another, we participate in each other's healing. Okay. So, you know the illustration of church, sometimes church being more like a hospital, and we're not here because we're perfect. Okay, anyone want to gladly put their hand up this morning and say they feel perfect this morning? Okay. But actually, we all recognize we need God's care and grace each and every day. And if there's anything you can draw from this morning is to thank God as you can wake up each morning and say, thank you, Lord, for this new day. When you look in the bathroom mirror tomorrow morning, you can say, thank you for this beautiful face. I just have a couple of questions for you. All right. You're going to go and look in the mirror? Yeah? We know what Dougie's going to say in a few moments. He just couldn't wait any longer, could he? I have to go. Anyway. So just a couple of quick questions. I just want you to just ponder in your mind. I'm not going to get you to share with anybody. It's just kind of like just a stir kind of things that you can apply to take away with you this morning. Okay? So how do you express praise to God? These are quite punchy, quick questions. Who are you real with? So who do you kind of confess your life with? And is there anything today you need prayer for? Oh, I've suddenly gone deep, haven't I? And Dougie's going to walk back in and go, what's gone on? So, verse 16 to 18, the power of a righteous prayer. The prayer of a righteous prayer has great power as it is working. And James gives us his example. He talks about, suddenly brings out Elijah, the great prophet in the Old Testament. But James makes an important point. Okay. Oh, by the way, for asking those questions is just to get you stirring thinking, all right? So, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Okay, and he's reminding us Elijah wasn't superhuman. He still looked beautiful, by the way. Okay, he just trusted God deeply. Okay, Elijah. What did he do? He prayed and the rain stopped for 3.5 years. And he prayed again and the rain returned. This shows us that prayer is not passive. Prayer moves things in the spiritual and the physical. Okay, and why is this encouraging? Because we often think our prayers are too small, or maybe they're just not that important, or we're not righteous enough. But James is encouraging us in this letter. If Elijah is flawed and human, he can pray powerfully, so can you. All right? So you remember those questions just asked before? Here's two more. Do you believe prayer actually changes things? And I hope the examples I've given this morning, at least you can say yes to that. And what do you need to start praying about boldly? Okay, so this week, what things can you start praying about? Big, bold prayers. So I already shared this morning about what's happening in Iran, and you think of Israel, and you think with America, and you think of Ukraine and Russia, and you think of these things that are just going on around us. Sometimes I can fall into this trap of like, what difference can my prayer make in what it seems like an impossible situation? Actually, I'm just called to be faithful and pray. And that's what we're going to do in a moment, is pray that, Lord Jesus, will you bring peace? Will you bring wisdom to the leaders that have got all these kind of this power to potentially harm many millions of people? Help our children to not get anxious by what they hear, but to instead turn to you. Man, oh man, good job we don't put our faith and trust in the world, but we have God that we turn to. I'm going to pray for that in a moment, but let's just recap. So in suffering, we pray. In joy, we praise. In sickness, we seek prayer and healing. In sin, we confess. In community, we lift one another up. And in boldness, we believe prayer has power. So James is inviting us to keep learning what it is to be a praying church. Not just one that praise before meals and meetings, but a community rooted in a life of prayer. If you're able to, why don't we stand? And Tom, are you happy to, just for these last few minutes? I just invite you just to close your eyes. I just want to pray this over us. Heavenly Father, make us people of prayer. That Lord Jesus, in every season, let our hearts turn to you. In weakness, make us strong. In sin, make us clean. In joy, let us sing. And in sorrow, let us not forget you. Help us, teach us to pray, not just occasionally, but continually. And let this church be known as a house of prayer. And Heavenly Father, we just want to lift Hannah up to you right now. Father God, over sickness, Lord Jesus, we pray for your healing hand to be upon her right now. That you restore her to full strength. Lord, I want to echo that prayer over each and every person in the life of this church, where there may be people that are loved ones that are struggling with their health right now. It might be the individually struggling with health. Lord, I pray, Lord, that faith will rise. I pray for bold prayers. Bold prayers include, Lord Jesus, will you remove that sickness in your mighty name? Will you set that person free from that situation? Just in this moment, if there is somebody that's come to mind, or maybe it's just you right now in the sense of just needing God, just bring your heart to him and just say, yeah, Lord Jesus, name the situation, the issue. And Father God, over this world, we pray for peace. We pray against the scheme of man, against the scheme of the enemy, where there are people out there that want to destroy. Lord Jesus, I pray that you bring reconciliation, that you'll bring peace. That these nations that are at war with one another, that may even take delight in seeing nations crumbling, where the population are suffering. Here we are at Lighthouse Community Church in Preston Pans in East Lothian in Scotland, praying over these massive situations across the world right now. But we know, we have confidence that you hear our prayer. We have confidence knowing that you are the all-conquering Heavenly Father. And so in your mighty name, Lord Jesus, come and bring breakthrough in this world. That more and more people will come to know you and know the truth that you are the light of the world. Thank you, Jesus.